Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Prachayane Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschacchade Sukarane. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasthi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Hare Pram, Srimad Bhagavatam 4, chapter 20, verse 15. Evam,
Evam,
Dvija,
Dvija,
Agriya,
Agriya,
Anumata,
Anumata,
Anuvritta,
Anuvritta,
Dharma,
Prakhano,
Pradhanam, Anyatamo,
Anyatamo,
Vitasya,
Vitasya,
Prasthena,
Prasthena,
Kalena,
Kalena,
Grihopayatan,
Grihopayatan,
Drashtasi,
Drashtasi,
Sudan, Anurakta, Loka, Evam Dvijagranu Matanu Vritta, Dharma Pradano Nyatamo Vitasya, Rasvena Kalena Grihopayatan, Drastasi Siddhan Anurakta Loka.
Drastasi Siddhan Anurakta Loka. Evam Duja Griya Anumatta Anupritta.
Evam Duja Griya Anumatta
Anupritta. Dharma Pradana Anyatama Anupritta Saya.
Dharma Pradana Anyatama
Anupritta. Sisvena Kalena Grihopayatan.
Sisvena Kalena
Evam,
Das,
Dvija,
Brahmanas,
Agriya, foremost, Anumata, approved, Anuvritta, received by the disciplic succession, Dharma, religious principles, Pradana, chief interest, Anyatama, unattached, Avita, protector, Asya, of the earth, Prasthena, short, Kalena, in time, Griha, to your home, Upayatan, having come personally, Drastasi, you will see, Siddhan, perfected personalities, Anurakta Loka, being loved by the citizens. Translation, Vishnu, Lord Vishnu continued, my dear King Prithu, if you continue to protect the citizens according to the instructions of the learned Brahman authorities as they have received by the disciplic succession by hearing from master disciple, and if you follow the religious principles laid down by them without attachment to ideas manufactured by mental concoction, then every one of your citizens will be happy and will love you, and very soon you will be able to see such already liberated personalities as the four Kumaras. Therefore, Lord Vishnu advised King Prithu that everyone should follow the principles of Varnashram Dharma, then in whatever capacity one remains within this material world, salvation is guaranteed after death. In this age, however, since the system of Varnashram Dharma is topsy-turvy, it is very difficult to strictly follow all the principles. The only method for becoming perfect in life is to develop Krishna consciousness. As Varnashram Dharma is executed from different positions by different men, so the Krishna consciousness principles can be followed by everyone in every part of the world. There is a specific purpose in mentioning here that one should follow the Dvijagriya's most prominent Brahmins like Parasara and Manu. These great sages have already given us instruction on how to live according to the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Similarly, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami have given us rules and regulations for becoming pure devotees of the Lord. It is essential, therefore, to follow the instructions of the Acharyas in the Parampara system and receive the knowledge that's passed on from spiritual master to disciple. In this way, although living in our material condition of life, we can get out of the entanglement of material contamination without leaving our positions. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises, therefore, that one does not have to change his position. One simply has to hear from the perfect source, which is called Parampara, and follow the principles for practical application of life. Thus, one can attain the highest perfection of life, liberation, and go back to Godhead. In other words, the change required is a change of consciousness, not in the body. Unfortunately, in this fallen age, people are concerned with the body, not with the soul. They have invented so many isms pertaining to the bodily body only, not the soul. In the modern age of democracy, there's so many government representatives voting for legislation. Every day they bring out a new law. But because these laws are only mental concoctions manufactured by inexperienced conditioned souls, they cannot give relief to human society. Formerly, although the kings were autocrats, they strictly followed the principles laid down by great sages and saintly persons. There were no mistakes in ruling over the country and everything went perfectly. The citizens were completely pious, the king levied taxes legitimately, and therefore the situation was very happy. At the present moment, the so-called executive heads are more or less selected from materially ambitious persons who simply look after their own personal interests. They have no knowledge of the Shastras. In other words, the executive heads are fools and rascals in the strict sense of the term, and the people in general are sudras. This combination of fools and rascals and sudras cannot bring about peace and prosperity in this world. Therefore, we find periodic upheavals in society in the form of battles, general riots, and fratricidal quarrels. Under these circumstances, not only are the leaders unable to lead the people toward liberation, but they cannot even give them peace of mind. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that anyone who lives on concocted ideas without reference to the Shastras never becomes successful and does not attain happiness or liberation after death. Translation, Lord Vishnu, continue, my dear King Prithu, if you continue to protect the citizens according to the instructions of the learned Brahmin authorities as they are received by the disciplined succession by hearing a master disciple, follow the religious principles laid down them without attachment to ideas manufactured by mental concoction. Then every one of your citizens will be happy and will love you, and very soon you will be able to see such already liberated personalities as the four Kumaras. So here Vishnu promises to Prithu if he follows the instructions and acts as an ideal king, then he will see siddhas. This refers later to the Kumaras who make their appearance in front of Prithu Maharaj. For a king, that is considered very auspicious to get great sages to visit him. So this is some sort of blessing that the Supreme Lord offers. So here we see that the Supreme Lord is telling him simply to do his duty and be a nice king, and then he gets that reward. This is similar, of course, to Krishna instructing Arjuna to do his duty had to fight like a kshatriya, etc.
In the
Bhagavad Gita. On the other hand, we also find other instructions at the end of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, give up all dharma and simply surrender unto me. And in Bhagavatam also we will find that there is condemnation of karma, jnana, and yoga, and recommendation only to do bhakti. So we got a little bit of a controversy or contradiction because different recommendations are given. So here the Lord is speaking one thing, and we'll also see other opposite statements. So the acharyas are those who solve the problem of contradiction. If there is contradiction, we cannot get a conclusion. What is correct? How can they both be correct? You do one or the other, you don't do both. So the contradiction must be solved. So that is what the acharyas do. So the acharyas consult the text, and very carefully they look at all the statements, and then they see what is the actual conclusion. Is it one or the other, based upon the text and reasoning? So they use the reasoning power to go through the text and see what the actual conclusion is. So if we do that, we go through Bhagavatam or we go through Bhagavad Gita, then we'll find ultimately that all these processes are praised. Karma Yoga is praised, Jnana is praised, Astanga Yoga is praised. But ultimately, they're not considered to be the best process. And Bhakti is considered to be the best. And the same we'll find in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna praises Karma Yoga. He also praises Jnana. He also praises Astanga Yoga. But then he also shows that Bhakti is the best of all. So we have to understand that hierarchy. There's what is called artavad, or exaggerated praise. So, in Karma Kanda, sacrifices are praise. They say, if you do these sacrifices, you can get eternal life. But we know the Bhagavad Gita, even in chapter 2, Krishna criticizes this. He says, those who are engaged in the Vedas and all this karma, they are in the gunas only. And we have to go beyond the gunas. So, and so many other places also we see that the ultimate result of sacrifices is you can go to Svargaloka or Brahmaloka. But you can't get out of the material world. So therefore when the scriptures say you get eternal life by doing sacrifices, it's not actually true. You get long life. So the statement is not completely true, it is an exaggeration. We cannot take it as an absolute statement. Based upon other texts. So in this way, the scriptures will sometimes praise Karma Yoga excessively so that people will follow that process. Otherwise, they won't follow it. You say, actually, you're not going to get a good result, and they won't follow. They won't follow that process, but they're not qualified for other processes, so they will do nothing. So make them do something, so they praise Karma Yoga for these people. So that is how the Lord gives faith in a particular process, by some exaggerated praise. So the same will be said of yoga and jnana, and there will be exaggerated praise and say this is the ultimate goal, etc. Okay? But we do know from Bhagavad Gita, even in chapter 6, at the end of chapter 6, Krishna says, higher than yoga, higher than jnana is yoga, higher than yoga is bhakti. So, in other words, they're not the ultimate process. So by going through the text very carefully, we can understand the nature of these different processes. And sometimes exaggeration is given. So you cannot get complete perfection just by following your rules and regulations of Dharma and Varnashram. Even though here the Lord says, you get such good results. No, you can't get real perfection. However, in the circumstance, the Lord is encouraging Prithu to do this just as Krishna encourages Arjuna to fight, and therefore he says this is the best thing. By fighting, so many things happen, and, you know, good things happen. So we have to see the conclusion after all. So that is the prophet says here in the purport, that the Lord is advising King Prithu to do Varnashram Dharma, but in this modern age it's not practical. There is no Varnashram Dharma. So better we just do Bhakti Yoga. By Bhakti Yoga, We don't need qualifications, whereas you need qualification for varnashram. To be a sudra, you need some qualification. To be a vaishya, you need a certain qualification. To be a kshatriya, you need a certain qualification, etc. To be a brahmana, you need a qualification. But to do bhakti, you don't require those qualifications at all. So without a varnashram system, then the only practical process is bhakti yoga. So bhakti yoga can be applied to everybody in the material world, whereas varnashram cannot. And anyway, it's not there in the first place, in Kali Yuga. So, therefore, the recommendation in Kali Yuga is only follow one process. In the other yugas, the gradual process was there for different types of people. And they could do either way. Go gradually through varnashram, then go to jnana and yoga and bhakti, or simply take the bhakti. There's no choice in Kali Yuga. We simply do bhakti yoga, because we don't have a varnashram system attached at all for people in general. So the method of development for everybody is bhakti in Kali Yuga. So this is the message of Lord Chaitanya. So he said he propagated Yuga Dharma. Yuga Dharma is that method which is practical for everybody for spiritual development. What is that Yuga Dharma? Nam Sankirtan, to chant the name of the Lord. So that is the main process. Other things may support that, but they can never be the main process. So we may adopt some aspects of Varnashram Dharma, we may accept some aspects of jnana or yoga or whatever, but they can never be a main process, and we should not be attached to them. So the main process is bhakti yoga, and in bhakti yoga the main process is chanting the holy names of the Lord. In Treta Yuga, the process was combined. We had sacrifices from karma yoga, but they were a means of attaining the Lord. It was a type of worship. And in Dwarpa Yuga, we have deity worship, which is also part of bhakti. And in Satya Yuga, there was meditation, which is also part of yoga. But it becomes prominent as a type of worship of the Lord also. This is part of bhakti. So in Kali Yuga, Sankirtan is only bhakti. This is the process that we follow Kali Yuga, because the people are less qualified. So in this way, we have to understand the real meaning of the text and not isolate these statements and say that therefore simply following your duty is the highest of all. So that is, of course, you know, Krishna says that in some places in Bhagavad Gita, simply follow your duty according to your varna, and then you'll get perfection. But we also see that the real duty of the human being is to worship the Supreme Lord. That's the highest duty. So we have to distinguish these types of statements.
Maharashtri, like in Banaprastan system, one has, after getting married, the Grihastha life is from 25 to 50 years. After 50 years, one has to take Banaprastan. That is the purpose. But nowadays, is it not practical? Now, can one keep on living with his wife in the end? Will that be useful in bhakti?
Well, it is up to the person. It's an individual decision. Since the varnashram system is not intact anymore, it can't really be followed quite perfectly. There was arrangements for each of the varnas and each of the ashramas within society. That system is not so much there anymore. So if we follow the vanaprastha as outlined in the scripture, it is quite difficult to follow. One has to go, actually one doesn't leave the wife, one goes with the wife into the forest, and you subsist on leaves and berries and roots in the forest for many, many years. And you wear clothes made out of bark. You take the bark of trees and use that for your clothing. So it is a very, very difficult, I don't think anyone has done that even in the last 1,000 years really. What to speak of sannyas. So, even the vanaprastha was quite a strict process if we look at the Vara rules. It's there, you see it even here in the Bhagavatam was mentioned. So very, very strict, not very possible to follow that in the modern age. Of course, one can modify that and simply carry out detachment, which is advisable, because too much attachment is not favorable for bhakti. So therefore, if one detaches oneself from children and other relatives and after retirement, that's good, favorable for bhakti, and then one can devote oneself to devotional service. So that aspect is good. But to follow all the rules is very, very difficult. Well, Vedas have both aspects, because in the Vedas we also have Upanishads, which are jnana. So they do have an aspect which is non-material also. So that is not a real accurate statement. Krishna says the Vedas are in the three modes, because some parts of the Vedas aren't, obviously. The Karmakanda section is. The Jnana section isn't. But he makes that statement simply to make a state that many people are addicted to the material aspect of the Veda. Just like Buddha rejected the people who were following the Vedas because they were interested in the karma aspect only, and they didn't want liberation from the world. So that's why, and then he rejected the Vedas because many people were interested in that. So that's there. Of course, the Sri Sampradaya, not only the Vedas, they study the Vishnu Purana.
Yeah.
Vishnu Purana and all of our works. So that's also very prominent. So it's not just Vedas. They use the Vedas because that is Shruti. So they use that as proof of the supremacy of Narayan. But they also study Vishnu Purana and the Alawars texts.
There are so many instructions being given, so still a system is required, even though we are doing devotion.
Still a system of?
Some principles are, some rules and regulations are there to be followed, even though Vanasham Dharma is not there, not practiced.
Yeah.
Still, in its place, some other set of instructions are there to be followed.
Oh, well, we can follow the rules of Varnashram if they're not contrary to bhakti. So some rules do not require the institution of a king, etc. So some individuals can follow rules for cleanliness and conduct, individual conduct. One can follow that to some extent. So there's no contradiction there. So the devotees can follow those rules in support of the material body and their place in society, etc. So that there's no contradiction there, they can follow those rules. Other sampradayas put more prominence on other things. The Vallabha Sampradaya is considered to be also Raghunuga Bhakti. So they are also following a bona fide system, and they also worship Krishna in a Raghunuga mode. So that is mentioned by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar Devotion, that it's this, they call it Pushti Marga, but it's actually Raghunuga. So, yes, somewhat different. Every Sampradaya will emphasize something differently to some degree. They should, of course, emphasize the names most of all, but a lot of them get distracted by deity worship. So we'll see that most of the Vaishnava Sampradayas concentrate on the deity worship rather than the sadhana of Nam Sankirtan. But they do, of course, recognize it, but in factual practice, they don't really emphasize it.
Maharaji, Bhagavad Gita said that moon is one of the stars. That means the stars are also like moons. But the scientists, we have read from the beginning that they are all big suns, bigger than the sun we have. So is it their sun or moon?
Well, in the Gita, where it says, among the stars I am the moon,
yeah.
That I think Vishwanath explained, Baladeva also explains, it doesn't mean it is a star, huh? Or that they're all equal, but he is, they're both up there in the sky, and that's what it means. He's among the stars, the moon is among the stars. So he doesn't take it that they're actually one of the same thing. Just like we could say the horse among the cows. So that's the way they take it usually, they take it that way. Most of the
acharyas.
It's not mentioned in the, as far as I see, in Bhagavatam, fifth canto doesn't mention actually what they are. Doesn't mention.
Difference in it. Let us.